one of the things when coming in, you hear the fans going. When I was growing up, we attended a church that didn't have air conditioning. And you forget about those things, and you get so used to having these things that when you don't have them, you wonder about. We first moved to Florida. We went the first year without air conditioning. Now, I can't imagine doing that. Of course, we did have some fans, and even when you lose power, you don't have even those electric fans. But we get so used to things that when things happen, we don't know how to handle them sometimes. And some we'll be talking about that this morning. Most of us went through this week, and you went through, and especially last week at this time, almost every, not every hour, but every 3 to 6 hours, we were looking where the hurricane was going next. And I can remember Saturday afternoon, one of our sons lived out in Houston, and they were just getting over Harvey. In fact, most of his neighborhood is still underwater even now. And you know, I guess Harvey's been like 3 weeks from now. So he was calling us up on Saturday, because we had been calling him before that about going on with Harvey. And the other son that we have lives down in North Miami. And if you remember Saturday afternoon, the hurricane was supposed to come directly over Miami. And so it was like they were going to get all of our family. And so you just wonder, you know, what's going on with these hurricanes? And sometimes we do wonder, why do we have hurricanes and things like hurricanes that hit us? If you like the scientific explanation for a hurricane, it takes the energy from the tropics and it takes it up to the northern latitudes. It's one of the built-in parts of the earth that it's the climate control of the earth. It helps the climate control. There's many things in our earth that are built in that we sometimes we sort of take them for granted. And hurricanes is a way to distribute the heat on the earth. I've heard that the energy from one hurricane is enough to power the electric use of the entire earth for a day. Now that's sort of amazing. Of course, you see how much energy there are in hurricanes, but the energy for the entire earth for a day is just an amazing fact. When we think about, okay, well, hurricanes, we can understand some a purpose, maybe we call physical. But what about the spiritual purpose of hurricanes? Because God had designed an earth that didn't have hurricanes. I mean, we have a lot of natural disasters that are sort of built into the way the earth is. Could he have designed an earth without those? Well, I'm sure he could have. But he chose not to. He chose to give us the earth that we have. And we'll be taking a look this morning at some of the reasons for that. So one of the things that you see at times like this is that people do turn back to God. If you look at Chronicles, this is when when Solomon built the great temple. And God spoke to Solomon. And notice what God says about what we could call natural disasters. He says, "When I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people." All these would be like, he could have added in their hurricanes. I don't think they have hurricanes over in Israel. But it's the same idea of the natural disasters. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Now, what God is saying is he will use the things of this world to turn his people back. And that's one of the ideas we have in Scripture, that these things happen for our own good to some degree. We don't think about them at the time. In fact, Hebrews talks about being disciplined by God. It's never pleasant at the time when you're undergoing discipline. But it serves a purpose. And you start seeing, even as Bill mentioned, how neighborhoods come together. One of the things my son has told us about after Harvey, his neighborhood was hit very, very hard. Two-thirds of the houses aren't livable even now. And how the people have grouped together, large neighborhood people, all different walks of life and everything, but they live in one place that were flooded. And how they're pulling together. These things do serve a purpose. It may not be pleasant at the time, but we see it as we go along. One of the ideas that Moses gave in Deuteronomy was a warning about the good times. When we have everything going just the way that we want it to go, we get lazy. We get complacent. We really forget each other. I realized just this week, my one neighbor on one side, I hadn't even mentioned or seen him in, I don't know, 6-7 months until now. And now we're out working on the same fence that's between our 2 yards that got blown away. But we forget about each other. Notice what Moses says in Deuteronomy as a warning to the people. This is before children of Israel go into the promised land. It says, when you have eaten and satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He's given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. One of the ideas that we have through Scriptures is that we have to not allow, the good times to lead us away from God. When everything's going just the way we want it, sometimes we do, as the Scripture talks about, forget our God. And sometimes it takes almost like a wake-up call. And even though as much as we don't like these hurricanes, I mean, I don't think any of us last Sunday night liked the hurricane. It was a scary time, regardless of where you were. Anywhere in Florida last Sunday night was a scary time. But you start, when you look back, seeing the purpose that God has, even in these kinds of things. Look with me, and there's a little passage in John. And it's an interesting little passage. This is the time Jesus is with His disciples going through. And He comes upon a man born blind. And notice what He says. As He went along, He saw a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They came on this man, he was blind, and said, well, got to be a reason for it. We always want to blame somebody for something, don't we? If somebody's born blind, somebody caused that. Somebody's got to have the blame for it. We've got to be able to push it away from somebody. And notice what Jesus says. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so the work of God might display it in your life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. What Jesus is saying, no one's to blame. Things do happen, and there's not always somebody that you can blame for. But good can come from these things. And good was going to come from this, because Jesus was going to heal this man, and good would come from that. So even in the disasters which we face, good can come from those. And that's what we'll take a look at. If you look with me at Luke, or back to our scripture reading this morning, and notice what's said. Jesus talks about two disasters, one that are caused by men, one by Pilate, sort of the evil of men that's there, but the other is a natural disaster. And notice what he says about these. This is in Luke chapter 13. And, and notice how Jesus confronts this. I don't have everything printed out this morning as well. This is Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, our scripture reading from that we've looked at. Now there were some present at that time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. In other words, when they were offering sacrifices, Pilate had these people killed, is what had happened. We don't know much about this episode other than what's given to us here. And he answered, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Well, those 18 who the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now here Jesus uses two examples. One that are caused by people, so to speak, the evil of men, when Pilate had these people put to death. But the other is the tower fell. This is a natural disaster. And did they cause it? Did they deserve what happened to them? And Jesus says, no. And what he says to them, he says, no, But you have to be ready. In other words, you don't have a guarantee of even tomorrow. You need to be ready. But then Jesus tells a parable. And when Jesus adds a parable to a teaching, that goes back to what he's just said. And sometimes we don't see the link in this parable to what he has just said. He's basically outlined two natural disasters. One with the tower falling, and one when these people were killed offering their sacrifices. But then he offers this parable to illustrate the point that he's making. It says, a man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he was seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit from this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on it manure, and it would bear fruit next year. Well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Now, sometimes it's not easy to see the linkage between that parable and what's just gone on. But I think what Jesus is saying is we need to always be ready to use the opportunities that we have. And it's during times of stress, like a tower falling on people or put together at the sacrifices, or for us, a hurricane, that we have opportunities to serve one another. And we need to use those opportunities as we have them. The idea is that we need to always be ready to use the opportunities that we have been given. We are to serve one another. And we're to serve each other in good or bad. When things are going really good, there's really not much need sometimes to serve one another. It's in times like this that we can find opportunities. When do people come to the Lord? When everything's going well for them? Now, go back and look at what Moses said in Deuteronomy. When everything's going well, people don't need the Lord. But in times like this, people do need the Lord. And sometimes it takes times like this for us to wake up and know what we need to be about. And Jesus says, be ready. Repent. The idea of repent is turn back to God. Don't think about this, make this world our home. So often, when we lose something in this world, that really upsets us because we've made this world our home. But this world's not our home. We seek a heavenly kingdom. If you go through the study of Abraham, one of the things that the hurricane has thrown me off of a little bit is the schedule of some of the sermons. Now, I was going to start a series of sermons on some of the great men of the Bible and how their lives illustrate some of the Bible principles. And we can look at Abraham and take a look at, does everything happen according to God's will? The sovereignty of God versus the free will of man. But you think about Abraham. God had promised Abraham to make him a great nation. He had had more descendants than the stars in the sky. He promised Abraham he was going to give him all the land that he could see. All the land he traveled on. But if you look at Abraham's life, he has one son, Isaac. He has a few others, but the son of promise was Isaac. Only one. He never saw a great nation. He lived in tents all of his life. He never possessed all this land that God was going to give him. It was all in the future. And in Hebrews 11, it talks about the fact that Abraham knew that this wasn't going to be just this world. He was waiting for a heavenly kingdom. And that's what we need to be thinking too, that we seek the heavenly kingdom. And we don't think about just what is good for us today. At times like this, we need to come together as a people. We need to think about it. Jesus brought in his own example. He came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Do we look at our lives that way? Do we look at our lives of what we can do with what the Lord has given to us? We talk a lot about that we're saved by faith, not by works. And one of the ideas is throughout that we need to be faithful. But we do need to think about how we live our lives. Notice a few scriptures, first from Acts, quoting Paul, when he talks about his gospel. Notice what he says, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Jesus in Luke 13 says we need to repent and turn to God. And Paul is saying your repentance needs to be shown by your life. In other words, you must live it. It's one thing to say that we know it and we believe it. We need to live it. And our lives need to reflect it. And it's in times when things are not so good that we can show what kind of people we are. Notice over in Ephesians 2. It says, "For we are God's workmanship." I've always liked that phrase. It means that God has molded us as His people. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We're to be doing good things, and it's in times like this that we have the opportunity. When everything is just going like we want it, when everything's okay, there's not much need for good works. And I think that's one of the things we miss with the idea of her, as much as we don't like to think about hurricanes serve a purpose. But they do. They bring us together as a people, and they give us the opportunity to serve our Lord. One more verse again in Galatians. "You, my brothers, were called to be free." And we talk about our freedom that we have in Christ. "But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature," in other words, the things of this world. "Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we need to be about, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to be about the Lord's work. We need to sometimes think about, why do things happen the way they do? And we don't always have a good answer for that. Sometimes we wonder, why do certain things happen? I know through this week, we got power on Wednesday. My neighbor didn't get power till Friday. And so there's your word. Why? No. How do those things happen? And that's a very little thing. Sometimes somebody has a tree fall in their house and somebody next door do not. Why do some things happen? We don't always have answers. And that's what Jesus is saying when they ask Him about why the tower fell on certain people and didn't fall on others. We don't always have answers for those things. But we need to always be serving our Lord, knowing that He is faithful and that He gives us the opportunity to serve one another. Just a few ideas, and the lesson is yours this morning. The Lord, I believe, uses the trials of this life to shape us. There's many scriptures we've looked at before that through the trials, they help us mature as a people. But they also help bring us together as a people. And we see that when these things happen. It's often during the storms of life that people need the Lord and turn to Him. It's when everything's going good for people that they don't turn to the Lord. So that it's these opportunities that we have to spread the gospel at these times. Because people do see their need. They realize they don't have maybe as much control as they think that they have. The command to love your neighbor is always before us. This is the great command. As Paul says, it sums up everything. That means we're to be serving one another. Not just thinking about what's good for us, but how can we serve one another? And it's usually at times of trials that we have opportunities to serve one another. We need to always be aware that this world is not our goal. It's so easy to get tied up in the things that we have here. That's what the warning that Moses gives in Deuteronomy. That it's so easy when you go into the land, the promised land that God promised you, and everything goes good, and you get big flocks and big herds, and your vineyards are overflowing, everything is going good. It's easy to forget who we are as a people. And the same things happen to us. We need to be aware. And Jesus says we need to always have that repentant attitude to turn back to our Lord. And finally, one of the things that strikes us is that you don't have the promise of tomorrow. We go on sometimes and we think our days are just going to go on and on and on. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. The Lord holds tomorrow in His hands, but it's not holding our hands. And we have to be ready. We have to be servants of the Lord. As Paul brings out, we have to love one another and be willing to serve one another. This morning, all of us have many things to be thankful for. The very reasons that we're here and able to come is a reason to be thankful. All of us made it through the storm fairly well. Now, we may have lost a little bit here, worldly things here or there that can be replaced. But we need to always be aware of who we are as God's people and be faithful to Him, that He is faithful to us. And I think it's two times like this that hopefully it will help bring us back as God's people, that we can be more faithful to Him. So this morning, be thankful to your Lord for what He's thanked you with, what He's blessed you with, and how we can share those blessings with one another. That's our message this morning. Think about your life. If you need to come in any way, if you need the prayers of the church, won't you come as together we stand and sing.